Blog Talk Radio.
Something to the roads. It's not an earthquake or tsunami or anything like that. So there's nothing I can do about it, but the show must go on, and I've done interviews and shows in even worse situations, so this is truly live. Interesting birthdays today. Charlemagne, the great Frankish king or French king who defeated the Saracens with these heavy horses, the Arabian stallions couldn't stand up to these what are known as plow horses or great war horses. Similar to the horse of those of you who've seen the film War Horse, although that's fiction. The film is fiction, but the events, Battle of the Somme, is not. And we will play that interview of a survivor of the Battle of the Somme, Colonel Trevor Hodges, who will reveal something that the British don't like to talk about. Among the birthdays today, Irene Mayer Seltzer. Mayer, she was, I think, the daughter or related to Louis B. Mayer, who ran the big Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer studios with the big lion. A lot of people said the lion's getting pretty old. And Selznick, she was married, apparently, or was the daughter of Selznick, David O. Selznick, who did Gone with the Wind. He was the producer of that great film. And then she was a movie producer. She was the producer of Streetcar Named Desire, starring Vivian Leigh, and who was also in Gone with the Wind, and Marlon Brando. That was one of his first films. And then Buddy Ebsen, those of you who remember the Beverly Hills Hillbillies. And the great Sir Alec Guinness, he said that he didn't know his father. And this is one of the greatest actors ever to come out of England, low-key guy, supposedly related to the Guinness beer fortune. We'll get into that some more. And those of you who remember the film, the most recent film that he did was in Star Wars, or what some people call it Shock Wars, Bridge on the River Kwai, where he played Colonel Nicholson. And one of his greatest films, well, one of his funniest films, with the Lavender Hill Mob, where they stole gold from a bank and melted it down into Eiffel Towers. It was a great film. He gets captured at the end. But my favorite, where he played at least seven roles, including that of a woman, was Kind Hearts and Coronets. Great film. And we'll get more. And then those of you who have seen Smiley's People, or Tinker Tailor Sailor Man, he starred in the first one in the BBC production in the 70s. Now, the second one with Gary Oldman was set in the spy European spy center was set in Budapest. The Alec Guinness one was set in Czechoslovakia, and slightly different endings in it, but it remained true to John le Carré's book. And then in the second Tinker Tailor Sailor Man, John le Carré reportedly appeared in a cameo role singing the Internationale at a Christmas party at the MI5 headquarters. Great film, both of them. They are different, but if you like those type of films, I highly recommend them. And the BBC one is on DVD. among the other birthdays today, former late Cardinal Joseph Bernardin, who was born in South Carolina, some controversy when he was Cardinal Archbishop of the Chicago Archdiocese, complaints about failure to deal with the homosexual abuse, priest abuse of young males. And, of course, you rarely hear about the lesbian nuns, but that's a problem, too. Also today, Serge Gainsbourg, famous French singer, he changed the spelling of his name from Ginsburg. It was Russian in French, G-A-I-N-S-B-O-U-R-G. And then those of us who love that film Tom Jones with Albert Finney, Diane Cilento played the loose woman and who had this husky voice. She was also the wife of Sean Connery, and they got divorced. Marvin Gaye, the great black singer, Tammy Terrell died in his arms. She had a brain tumor. She died in his arms on the stage. I think Marvin's father was a preacher, and something happened, and he shot his son dead. Let's see. And then we have Emmylou Harris, Don't You Make My Brown Eyes Blue, great folk pop singer. Camille Paglia, who is a lesbian, who great writer, though, and she has a great sense of humor, disagree with some of her politics. Among the deaths today, and this gets back to why we have the Anglican Church today, Arthur was the oldest son of King Henry VII. Henry VIII was the second son. Arthur was betrothed to Catherine of Aragon, but Arthur died before the marriage could be consummated. He was a teenager. So the Roman Catholic Church had a rule that you couldn't marry the widow of your brother, and it was a question of consummation. Catherine claimed it never happened. Anyway, Henry VIII got a dispensation to marry her because he had to continue to protect the Tudor line because his family had survived the Wars of the Roses, in which it was between the houses of Lancaster and York. And so the monarchy was still a little shaky. So he got this dispensation, and then when he wanted to divorce Catherine, and the Pope says, hey, wait a minute, we just gave you permission and a dispensation to marry her. And Henry VIII was pissed off and had a huge ego, very intelligent man, but ruthless, killed five of his six wives. He got angry and used the excuse that the monasteries were cesspools of sodomy. And he got angry with Cardinal Wolsey, who didn't get him the divorce from Catherine because she couldn't produce a male heir. So he quit the Roman Catholic Church and started the Church of England, in which he was the head, and he would appoint all the bishops. So that's where that comes from. Also today, we have Samuel Morse's death. He's got it under the Telegraph. And then we have, if you remember, back to the English history again, Captain Horatio Hornblower. Well, the author Cecil Forrester died today. And interesting thing about that film, Kind Hearts and Cornets, they used the N-word in it when the film was made. The film was made in England, but when it came to America, the censorship bureau office ordered the word nigger deleted and the play down or snip the part where adultery was played up, so they played it down. Among the events today, the first French pope, believe it or not, there were French popes, not all were Italian. In 999, interesting, it's like 666. In 1513, this is Florida, which is going to play a big role in the election. Thank God we bought it. Ponce de Leon claimed Florida for Spain. And then 1792, after the successful American Revolution, the Philadelphia Mint was established. It's very hard to find Philadelphia mint coins. We have the Denver Mint, and then in San Francisco, we have the San Francisco Mint. And there's a very interesting story, which I'll get into later, when a lesbian who was a deputy city official got drunk, and she tried to crash the Mint, thinking it was an ATM. And then in 1827, on this day, lead pencils were invented by a guy named Joseph Dixon. And during the Civil War, there was a bread revolt in Richmond, Virginia. I didn't have time to get into much of that. Back to the Civil War in 1866, Andrew Johnson ends the war between the states and the Confederacy. And remember, he was from Tennessee. And then in 1870, Virginia Woodhull became the first woman nominated to run for president. And then the gasoline engine was invented or patented in 1872 by a guy named George Brayton. And in 1884, the London's dead or prison was closed. It took them that long to get it. Just think if we still had that today, a lot of people with a wall on their credit cards would be in debtor's prison. This is funny. In 1912, Titanic underwent sea trials. I guess they considered it seaworthy to cross the Atlantic Ocean and to outrun or to survive crashing into an iceberg. The first president of China after the Manchu dynasty fell, Sun Yat-sen, started the Kuomintang, which is the heirs today are in Formosa or Taiwan, as they call it. And which Chiang Kai-shek was part of the Kuomintang, and he was fighting with the communists, Mao Tse-tung and those people. And also on this day, would you believe it or not? Well, President Wilson declared war against Germany in World War I because of the Zimmerman telegram. That's not the Zimmerman who's come up in this Florida Trayvon Martin scandal. The autopsy has still not been released. That's going to be interesting. And we'll get into how autopsies are done. It's very interesting when politically correct people are involved as decedents. And in 1931, can you believe this? A teenage girl struck out both Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. They were the great Yankee baseball players. Lou Gehrig, his famous film with Gary Cooper. And Lou Gehrig, I think, had not Alzheimer's, but a disease of the lateral sclerosis, I think is what it was, or multiple sclerosis. And then 1932, the famous, infamous Lindbergh baby kidnapping. The baby was found dead, and Bruno Hauptmann was accused. The head of the New Jersey State Police was the father, was a guy named Schwarzkopf, who was the father of General Schwarzkopf, who fought was the head of the American forces in the first Iraqi war. And Lindbergh paid $50,000 ransom, didn't get the baby back alive. Bruno Hauptmann, it's an infamous trial. Bruno Hauptmann was convicted and, of course, electrocuted. That's not the rumbles from the earthquake or the tsunami or Fujima. Can't help that rumble in the background. And then I will get into women and horses. I did an interview with a woman veterinarian, on why women like horses. But anyway, Mary Hirsch in 1935 became the first woman to be a horse trainer. And they say women understand horses better than men do. I won't argue with that. In 1941, here in San Francisco, the USS Hornet, which is still over in Alameda, departed San Francisco for General Doolittle's raid on Tokyo. 30 Seconds Over Tokyo is a film depicting that raid, which starred Spencer Tracy. Great film. And then in 1964, the socialist president, a guy named Goulart, was ousted by the military junta, and there was a lot of torture of political opponents, state of siege situation, which led also to the Chilean situation, where in 1973, ITT, International Telephone and Telegraph, pled guilty to trying to stir up the CIA to oust Salvador Allende, the communist president of Chile. And there were a lot of tortures, and General Pinochet came in, and I think he's dead now, but he was accused and tried, or they tried to try him for being responsible for torture and the deaths of thousands of political dissidents and suspected political dissidents. And then, and in this period in the 70s, CBS introduced the 24-hour news. Velcrom, if you use that in 1978, that was invented. Losing my throat here. And that's pretty much it for this day. Now, to get into our news here, this is the week of the infamous Juan P. Ferre homosexual predator, and the abuse of an 18-year-old sailor who was a victim of stalking, drugging. We're pretty sure he was drugged, and concealing his assailant's medical records, communicable disease. He was a cocaine addict. Whether he was HIV positive, which we think he was, because the records had been sealed. This is what happens with politically correct autopsies. Or did he have VD, gonorrhea, any of that, or those genital warts? All this was concealed in the Juan P. Ferre autopsy. It's one of these controversial autopsies. It's interesting that Whitney Houston's autopsy was available to the public within 2 weeks of her death. But not Juan P. Ferre, and he's not the only one. And this happens in the corrupt city of San Francisco, where the political machine is increasingly being seen as a racketeering entity. This case has cost the American taxpayer $15 million a day. $10 million of that or more went to build a building for AIDS victims that cost $10 million, and the operators of that building will own the building, even though the American taxpayers paid for it. This is one of the scams of affordable housing, so-called, or real estate racketeering. Editing of the videotape and the voice, the telephone call of George Zimmerman. People who do that are media morons, and we have them. There are real journalists still out there, but the people who do this, and the question is, are these people guilty of obstruction of justice? We have to start thinking along those lines, because it's costing lives, it's destroying lives, damaging lives, and costing the American taxpayer millions of dollars. It's bad enough that we have these crooked attorneys. We don't need media people going along with these cover-ups and abuse of American citizens. Now, you probably wonder, where did all this bicycle agenda come from? Well, get this. When the Nazis overran Western Europe, what they did was, especially in France, they took away the drivers, they seized or ban the Jews from having bicycles or driver's licenses. And they banned the French in occupied France, because that was Vichy France, from owning automobiles and trucks, and they told them to ride their bikes. Now, these bike lanes that you see were started by the Nazis in Holland. So this is where this agenda comes from. It's very interesting. And this is how the Nazis tried to control the population in occupied Europe. The controversy here today is that in a lot of states, what we call the new two-wheel leisure class, these bicyclists aren't licensed, even though their wheels are on the road. The roads are improved for them. They get special lanes. If they kill somebody or injure somebody, they don't have insurance, and it's the American taxpayer who's worried about his own health insurance has to pays for it, whether they realize it or not, because these people go to the emergency room. They get medical care, and that medical care has to be paid for. Also, these bicyclists don't have safety devices. They don't obey the rules. It used to be that the bicyclists would operate after dark, and these were largely drug dealers because they rode bikes because the cops couldn't catch them. But now we have these yuppies of every ethnic group. They have attitude. They don't obey the rules of the road, even though the rules of the road for bicycles are in the Rules for the Road manual. And it's just time to make these people responsible and make them pay their freight. Also, they're just as bad as these other drivers and who text and who use the cell phones. So this is where they come from, and we'll put up on our website, our YouTube website, you'll see the pictures of the origin of the bike agenda. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court today yesterday came down with this decision on that. It's gone back and forth because the Ninth Circuit overturned a case here in San Francisco where the corrupt Sheriff Hennessy was strip searching people and for no reason. And one of the strip search injured parties filed a federal lawsuit, and the courts ordered the sheriff to stop it. But now the U.S. Supreme Court said that anybody can be strip searched. The question is, given what happened to the senior citizen nun 2 years ago, she was seized in arrested in a public demonstration. She was taken to the San Francisco City Jail, stripped, and then thrown naked in a cell. 70-plus-year-old woman. Now, even in the civil rights demonstrations in the South and in other parts of the country, when the sheriff or police chief like Bull Connor arrested clergy, whether they were Catholic priests, nuns, brothers, ministers, rabbis, they didn't strip search him, and they didn't throw him naked in a cell. So there's some serious question about where does this go? And does the decision today include when the person is stripped to be thrown naked in the cell and without being tried or convicted or anything? Now, when prisoners misbehave, and even in county jails, they do throw them in a they're stripped and thrown in a solitary cell. They did that at San Quentin and other prisons, Alcatraz and other prisons. So this is something that needs to be looked at and needs to be clarified. And so lawyers should go back to the court and get some clarification. So we'll be on Wednesday. We will try to have that interview with the woman veterinarian, very humorous. And we talk about women and in the veterinary profession and women. Why young girls like horses. It's quite interesting what she said. Also, I do have another interview that I did with the head of the Lipizzaners in the Spanish Riding Academy in Vienna, Austria. We'll update that. We'll play that one. Also, we have an update on the Hugo de la Plaza homicide. It's still unsolved, but there's been some interesting new developments that may lead to the solving of his murder, brutal murder that happened here in San Francisco, and it involved French media were here. And so we'll update the world on that one because people have been very interested. The other thing is the picture we're seeing on Trayvon Martin with that hoodie or that hood, was this photoshopped or what? Is that, you know, this was, what, a 17-year-old kid? I understand that the picture they're floating around is one of a 14-year-old. So, I mean, is somebody made a mistake somewhere. Also, we'll be putting up on YouTube a video ebook chapter on my book, Easy Pickings, When Government Grants and Graft Embrace. We'll get into the section of how people are profiting from tragedy. We have people with these missing children foundations, and in one case, Kevin Collins' case here in San Francisco, the father used the money to buy a car and to buy new clothes, and the kid has never been found. The case is over nearly 30 years old. We had the Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Was started by a woman who, I think, whose daughter was killed by a drunk driver. We have the Matthew Shepherd's Foundation. The mother pays herself $150,000. That's the report. We don't know what she did or if she's qualified even to run a foundation. And what she did at that trial, she tried to manipulate the coverage of it. The two young males, one of them who was sexually involved with Matthew Shepherd and was a drug dealer, had to make a promise or a commitment that he could not talk about what had really happened. And, you know, this is outrageous. And to keep him quiet, they shipped him to a prison in West Virginia. So this needs to come out. And, of course, we have the scandals here in San Francisco, the de facto censorship of what really happened to Stephen Neri the week of March 23rd, 1996. That story is not going to die. So we'll end right now with our usual politics and poker. I don't know if, I doubt if Mitt Romney plays a hand, but Santorum probably does. We will see if he wins the Wisconsin and that other primary and comes pretty close to grabbing the Republican nomination for president. Here's Politics and Poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Five, five. K2.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, how to bet,
where to call on stuff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
Well, this is Peter Paul Brizola. We'll be back Wednesday. Good night.